Isaac is a fictional character, but what they went through is happening across Yorkshire and the Humber today. This is their story. In one of England's more deprived constituencies, science graduates who want to teach chemistry cannot access the training that would put them in front of students who need those lessons. The classrooms sit ready, the equipment waits unused, while Treasury rules ensure that the people and the posts never meet.
I've always loved this moment when a chemical reaction clicks into place. Growing up in Bramley, I kept a collection of rocks and crystals on my windowsill. Nothing fancy, just bits I'd found that caught the light in interesting ways. My mum, who worked as a teaching assistant at the local primary, used to joke that I'd turn the house into a laboratory if she let me. My dad, coming home from his warehouse shifts, would find me at the kitchen table with chemistry textbooks spread everywhere, trying to work out why copper turns green or how rust actually forms. It was Mrs. Patterson in Year 9 who made it all make sense. She had this way of explaining molecular bonds that made them feel like tiny hands reaching for each other. And when she demonstrated the iodine clot reaction, clear solutions suddenly turning deep blue in perfect timing, I knew this was what I wanted to spend my life doing. Not just understanding chemistry, but helping other people feel that same moment of wonder when the invisible world suddenly becomes visible. I graduated from Leeds Beckett in 2020 with a 201 in chemistry, and the path seemed clear. The country needed science teachers, everyone said so, and I wanted to teach. I applied to the school-centred initial teacher training programme at Leeds Trinity University, excited to follow Mrs. Patterson's example. The acceptance letter arrived quickly. Too quickly, it turned out. The follow-up email explained that while I'd been accepted, the £24,000 training bursary for chemistry teachers had been reduced to £15,000 for Yorkshire and the Humber. London trainees, the email noted matter-of-factly, would still receive the full amount. I stared at that email for a long time. £15,000 sounded like a lot of money, until you divided it across a year of full-time study with no other income. I ran the numbers: rent, food, travel, course materials. It didn't add up. I called the admissions office, hoping there had been a mistake. I'm sorry, the administrator told me, her voice genuinely apologetic. The regional allocations were set by the Department for Education. We have to work with what we're given. I took a job as a lab technician at Leeds City College instead. It wasn't teaching, but at least I was working with chemistry, preparing experiments for other people's lessons. I told myself it was temporary, that I'd save up and try again. In 2022, I applied to the University of Leeds PGCE programme. This time, the rejection was quicker and more direct. I sat across from the admissions tutor, Dr. Williams, in her cramped office overlooking the Parkinson building. "The situation has deteriorated, I'm afraid," she said, shuffling through papers. "Regional funding has been cut further. There are no bursaries available for chemistry teaching in Yorkshire this year." "But there must be something," I said. "The government keeps saying there's a teacher shortage." Dr. Williams nodded grimly. "The Department for Education sets national recruitment targets, but Treasury rules mean we have to compete for a fixed pot of funding. It's not rational, but those are the constraints we work within." "There is no funding," she said, spreading her hands. "The budget has been cut." It sounded reasonable when she said it. Budgets get cut, money runs out. That's how the world works, isn't it? I tried one more route. Leeds West Academy had a school direct programme. Maybe they'd have more flexibility. I contacted them directly, explaining my situation to Mrs. Coomer, the head of science. "We desperately need chemistry teachers," she told me over the phone. "I've got classes being covered by non-specialists, and it's not fair on the students. But there's simply no budget for training bursaries anymore." I started walking past the academy in the evenings, partly because it was on my route home from the college, partly because I couldn't quite let go of the idea. That's when I noticed something that didn't fit. Through the ground floor windows, I could see the science labs. Brand new equipment was still sitting in boxes along the windowsills, centrifuges in plastic wrap, microscopes in unopened cases, clean benches that had never been used. I mentioned it to Sarah, a friend who worked in the Academy's admin office. She looked uncomfortable when I brought it up. We've got three chemistry preparation rooms that have never had anyone working in them, she said quietly. The equipment arrived last year. We were allocated resources for six new science teachers, but we could only recruit two. Why only two? Because most graduates can't afford the training without the bursaries. I stood there trying to process what she'd told me. The classrooms existed, the equipment existed, the students who needed chemistry lessons existed. I existed, and I wanted to teach them. Other graduates existed who felt the same way. But someone had decided that connecting these things would cost too much money. Except the government that told us there was no money is the same government that creates the money. Every pound note in my wallet says Bank of England on it. Every coin has the government stamp. They don't need to find pounds somewhere before they can spend them. They issue the pounds. So when Dr. Williams said there is no funding, what she really meant was that someone in Westminster had decided not to create the funding that would put me in those empty classrooms with students who needed chemistry lessons. The government that prints the notes and mints the coins told us it could not find enough of them to train the people who were standing right there, ready to work. I used to accept the excuse that there was no money. I hear it differently now. The real question was never about money. It was about whether the people existed, we did. Whether the skills could be taught, they could. Whether the materials were available, they were. Sitting in boxes in empty labs across Yorkshire. The excuse was not a fact. It was a choice wrapped in the language of impossibility. The government chose to treat its own budget like a household budget, as though it had to check its piggy bank before spending. But households don't issue their own currency. The government does. I'm still here, still working at the college, still watching those empty classrooms fill with agency teachers who don't have chemistry degrees, still seeing students struggle with concepts that I could explain. I understand now that what happened to me wasn't bad luck or economic necessity. It was a series of political choices made by people who had alternatives. And I understand that this isn't just my story. It's the story of every place where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster says the cupboard is bare.
What Isaac experienced has a name, cherry picking. This technique selects rare examples where spending failed to justify never spending while ignoring overwhelming evidence of what happens when government does invest. Cherry picking works like this. Imagine someone arguing that antibiotics are dangerous by citing only cases where patients had allergic reactions while ignoring the millions of infections they've successfully treated. The selected examples are real, but they're not representative. In Isaac's story, every time someone said there is no money for teacher training, they were applying this same selective logic. They'd cite examples where education spending didn't deliver perfect results using those cherry-picked cases to justify cutting bursaries across entire regions. They ignored the evidence from countries like Finland, where sustained investment in teacher training created world-class education systems. They ignored the demonstrable link between proper teacher training and student outcomes. The austerity objection often raised is, look what happened to countries that overspent on public services. This selectively cites Greece, which used the euro and did not issue its own currency. Nordic countries with large public sectors have lower debt crises, not higher. The UK government issues its own currency. The real constraint is resources: people, skills, materials, time. In Isaac's constituency, those resources were sitting idle. The resources existed, the people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Leeds West and Pudsey ranks 153 out of 543 English constituencies in the English Indices of Deprivation 2025, placing it in deprivation decile 3. The constituency has 1,600 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales. Total grants received amount to £34.2 million according to 360 Giving Grant NAV. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics, produced by Blocked Britain.